Hello again, friends, and welcome to another hour of enriching excitement as we gather again around the old Parlor Radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker. Today's program is once again featuring two grand old Western series, both of them dating to the early 1950s, a time when dramatic radio programming was already losing ground to the picture tube. I'm going to begin the show today with one of the better-known Western series. Hopalong Cassidy had its original broadcast run from 1948 to 1950 in transcribed syndication, and then from January 1st, 1950 to March 15th, 1952, starting on Mutual and then ending on CBS. William Boyd, who played Cassidy in the 1930s B-Western movies, reprised his role on radio and later television. Today's episode, dating from 4 p.m. Sunday, March 12, 1950, is titled Red Rock Mesa. Let's start riding, Hoppy.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy. Starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And appearing as that laughable old character, California, is Andy Clyde. Now to our story, Red Rock Mesa. Below them, shimmering in the heat of a noon sun, lay Mescalosa Plain, stretching as far as the eye can see. The squat settlement of Mescalosa in the center, the pine-covered hills of the Indian Reservation to the right, and far in the distance, beyond the white sands of the desert, the flat-topped tableland called Red Rock Mesa.
Gosh, Hoppy, ain't that a sight?
Yeah, looks mighty hot down there.
She was mighty hot the last time I seen her in more ways than one.
When was that, California?
In 73, the year before the Comanche War. Me and another fella, what was his name?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, suppose not. Memory ain't what it used to be. Anyway, me and this other fella get caught 10 miles out of Mescalosa by a bunch of Comanches. And they run us clean across that desert and up Red Rock Mesa. Nearest ever come to parting with my corpure. When they finally corralled the Comanches and put them on the reservation, I shook the dust of Mescalosa off in my boots and promised myself I'd never come back.
Well, I don't think we need worry about the Comanches now, California. They've been behaving themselves for quite a while.
Well, I still ain't in love with the Mescalosa country. Wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for this horse business of yours. Them Comanche Indians is about as tough as they come. Why, I remember the time once when I...
Hey.
What's the matter?
That's funny.
Huh?
That smoke over there, the other side of the ridge.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
I don't know. Let's take a look. What do you make of it, California?
Don't know. Looks like somebody's ranch house got burned down.
It's still smoldering. Couldn't have happened more than a few hours ago, sometime in the early morning.
Hoppy, I ain't one to jump to conclusions, but...
Go on, what is it?
Well, a few years back, we never had to think very hard when we run onto a burned ranch house.
Comanches?
Yeah.
We better get out of here. I want to talk to the marshal in Mescalosa.
Get down! Down, Hoppy!
What was that?
Look! In that timber there.
It's an arrow.
Let's get out of here, Hoppy.
Keep down. We might get out the back.
Let's go.
Hold it. They thought of that, too.
Well, they'll have to come and get me.
No, put your gun away. We're surrounded. If we get out of this at all, it won't be by shooting.
There ain't nothing else to do, Hoppy.
Maybe not, but we gotta try. This is one spot we're gonna have to talk our way out of.
Thank you.
Now back to Hopalong Cassidy and Red Rock Mesa. For five eternal minutes, Hoppy and California crouch in the blackened ruins of the ranch house, waiting for something to happen. Then...
Look. Where? There's one of them coming around that boulder. Give me your handkerchief. Is it white?
Used to be. Here.
Good. Put it on the stick here. There. Now.
Never thought I'd see the day when Hopalong Cassidy would wave a white flag at an engine.
Well, if you want to keep your toupee in place, you'll shut up. Hello over there.
He's coming out.
All right, now. Cover me while I go out to meet him.
Right, Hoppy.
And don't pull that trigger unless you have to. Understand?
Yeah. Good luck, Hoppy.
Thanks. Howdy. You speak English?
Me no white man talk. Me no white man ways. Bring other man here.
I'd rather leave him where he is.
We said bring other man here.
What do you want?
Guns. You have guns.
Yeah, we have guns and we're going to keep them.
Like magpie, you make big talk. You kill other man.
Gee, wait a minute.
A white girl.
What happened? Tell me.
You ask white man. He make big talk.
Who are you?
My name's Cassidy.
Where are you from?
From the Bar 20 Ranch, quite a ways north of here. My friend and I just got here a few minutes ago. Pulled up on the ridge over there and saw the smoke. Came over to take a look.
What are you doing in Mescalosa County?
Just come down here to buy some horses.
I see. Chief. These aren't the men. You must let them go in peace. Bring your friend out here, Mr. Cassidy.
All right, miss. California.
Here, Hoppy. What's in tarnation's that white gal doing here?
I don't know, but she sure came at the right time. Come on. This is my partner, California Carlson.
Howdy, ma'am.
How do you do? This is Chief Broken Lance of the Comanches. He's sorry he made the mistake.
Where do you like? What do you want to do?
He wants you to go in peace.
Mind if I ask what this is all about, miss?
Oh, it's simple enough. Someone's trying to stir up another Comanche war.
What do you mean?
Almost every ranch bordering the Indian reservation has been raided during the last few weeks. The cattle run off, buildings burned. This is one of them right here.
I see. Do you mind if we,
Oh, of course. Chief, we'd like to talk. You'd better get back to the others.
You tell white man our story, miss.
I will.
It is well.
Now, what makes you think these raids aren't the work of the Comanches?
I ought to know. I live with them. I keep an Indian school on the reservation. When the trouble started, I refused to leave with the others. I know the Comanches are innocent, but it's useless to plead with the ranchers in Mescalosa. They're ready to fight now. Our only hope is to catch whoever's behind these raids.
So when they saw California me fooling around this ranch house here, they thought...
Of course they did. You're lucky you weren't killed.
Thanks to you, Miss...
Britt. Martha Britt. You'd better be on your way now. It's a two-hour ride to Mescalosa.
Just like that, huh?
What do you mean?
Going to stay up here and take care of things all by yourself. Fight every white rancher in the county with a bunch of Indians and a lot of nerve?
I'm not asking anybody for help.
Well, you're going to get our help, whether you want it or not.
You're going to...
Thanks. Thanks very much. I would like you to do something for me.
And what's that?
The marshal in Mescalosa. His name's Bob Nolan. Keep an eye on him for me, will you?
Sure. I want to look things over in town this afternoon. I'll be back here tonight. Will you meet me?
All right. I'll be here.
Know what she was talking about, Hoppy? This town sure spoiling for a fight.
Yeah, she wouldn't have a chance talking to these birds. Well, let's see what her friend Bob Dolan thinks.
No matter what you say. So that's the way it looks to us ranchers, Nolan. We're getting together tonight to take some action on this thing. I hope you'll be with us. But if you ain't, we're going to go it alone.
You're not going to do anything till I say so, Whitman.
I tell you, we're tired of waiting. Three ranches burned in the last 2 weeks. Over 1,000 head of cattle, them redskin varmints run off.
But I'm not setting off another Comanche war until I've got something more than suspicion to go on.
Is that the only reason, Nolan?
What do you mean?
Are you afraid your young schoolmarm might get hurt if we tackle her precious Comanches? Think it over, Nolan.
Okay, what do you want?
I'm Hopalong Cassidy. This is California Carlson.
Howdy, Marshal.
Howdy.
We talked to Miss Britt up in the foothills this afternoon.
Martha, how is she?
Fine.
What did she say about...
She's going to see it through from the Comanche side.
I was afraid of that.
Say, who's that fella you was talking to?
Sully Whitman. Lost 500 head last night.
Whitman, huh? Looks sort of familiar.
He's like all the rest of them now. Ready to shoot a Comanche on sight.
How many cattle are missing now?
At least a couple of thousand. There's no ranch around here. Hasn't been hit at least once.
Can't run off 500 head of cattle without leaving a trail.
We followed cattle trails till we're dizzy. Got nowhere.
What do you mean you got nowhere, Bob?
Every trail leads to the same place. Somewhere in the edge of the Tierra.
Tierra?
The Tierra de la Muerte. Sand desert south of here.
Bob.
Sean, what's happened?
Ambush. At the edge of the Tierra. They got Bill and Larry.
They did, huh? You got horses handy, Cassidy?
Right outside.
Okay, come on with me. It'll be dark when we get there, but I'll show you what I mean.
This is the place.
Where'd they fire from, Sean?
The rise over yonder. You can see it in the moonlight there.
Well, what do you make of it, Cassidy? Just like the others. Cattle tracks leading right out into the desert.
How far does the desert go?
100 miles or more. Nothing but sand dunes. Wind washes out the tracks 5 minutes after they're made.
Well, those cattle got to be somewhere. You can't make a couple of thousand head disappear.
You say you couldn't see who fired on you, Sean?
Nope. The shots came from that rise over there, and... Wait.
Huh?
Look. There in the moonlight.
It's an Injun. Get down.
There he goes.
Come on.
Here's where you fired from.
Sean.
Yeah?
No use trailing him now. He's halfway through the desert. Well, I'm satisfied now, Cassidy.
Yeah?
I saw him, and it was an Indian. That's all I need.
Only one thing.
What's that?
Take a look at these tracks here.
Huh?
First time I ever heard of an Indian riding a horse with iron shoes.
He might have stolen the horse.
Maybe. And maybe it was a white man dressed up to look like an Indian.
Huh?
I think he wanted us to see him. There's brush cover all over the hill here. A half-wit to know better than to ride up the hilltop against a full moon and start shooting. Say nothing of a Comanche.
Hey, maybe you're right.
Come on, let's get back to town.
Doing nothing while the Comanches run off our cattle and burn our ranches. I know you are, too.
They're with you, Whitman.
They got Bill Connors and Larry Baker at the edge of the desert this afternoon.
They did.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the last straw. I'm ready to move.
Now, wait a minute, Sully. Listen, all of you. First blow struck against the Comanche Nation will start it up all over again.
I know there isn't a card in the lot of you. I'm the last one who's going to run out on my duty here. Hop along, Cassidy and I. We're down to the scene of the shooting tonight. And we still aren't satisfied it was done by the Comanches. Now, look, boys, all I'm asking you
now,
to do
is... Wait a minute. I'd like to ask the marshal here one question. I'd like to know if he's holding back because he wants to do right by the Comanches or because he's afraid a certain little schoolmarm might get hurt in the fighting.
Okay, Sully. Hey,
pick him up.
All right, boys, now get this. There's only one way I can answer that kind of a charge. Be saddled and ready by dawn.
Well, we were waiting to hear that.
The war's on.
Before we continue with this exciting story, here is a word from your announcer.
Thank you.
Now back to Hopalong Cassidy and Red Rock Mesa. It's after midnight now as Hoppy and California ride up to the ruins of the farmhouse where they first met Martha Britt.
Hold it, California.
Reckon she's here?
We'll see in a minute. There she is. Come on. Martha.
Mr. Cassidy, we've been waiting for hours.
They kept us pretty busy. Who's with you?
Broken Lamp.
Good. The town's up in arms. They're taken off at dawn. Armed to the teeth.
I was afraid of that.
Well, Bob's forced them to it. He asked me to get you out of here.
The Indians are depending on me. I can't desert them now.
Don't be silly. You can't help them by hanging around either.
But where can I go? I can't go back to Mescalosa. They think I'm a traitor. Can't stay here in the hills.
Wait a minute.
What is it, California?
I'm thinking.
We haven't got time for that.
No, I'm thinking the time the Comanches run me and that other fella up Red Rock Mesa. Why can't we take Miss Britt there? There's a trail no one knows about on the far side. This fella showed it to me. His name was... Hey!
What's the matter?
I got it. The fella I was up there with. I remember who he is.
Who?
Whit Sullivan. Sully Whitman. They're the same fella. That skunk who's firing up the mob down below is the fella I got run up the Mesa with.
You sure?
Sure, positive.
Wait a minute now. 2,000 head of cattle disappear into the desert. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Look out in the valley there. You can see the mesa in the moonlight. Suppose those cattle were run out into the sand dunes so the wind could cover their tracks. Then suppose they were turned south to the mesa. What's it like on top?
Prettiest land you ever saw. Water there, plenty of grass.
Enough for 2,000 head of cattle?
For a short spell, sure.
So Whitman pulls off the raids, makes it look like the Comanches, then fires up the town for another Indian war. I think I know why now. It begins to make sense.
Wait a spell. You left me behind. You...
Martha.
Yes?
Tell the chief to get his men together and hold up in the woods here. We'll try to make it back before dawn.
Where are we going?
To the top of Red Rock Mesa. Hold it. There's the rim up ahead. Better leave the horses here.
Right, Harvey.
Teach me how a trail as wide as this could be so well hidden.
Old buffalo trail, I reckon.
Wait. Listen.
Cattle.
Yeah. I think we've solved the mystery of the disappearing cows, California. Come on now.
Right behind you.
Take it easy. They might have a sentry at the top of the trail here. All right now. Around the other side of this boulder, we ought to get a look at the top of the mesa. Watch where you step.
Harvey. Look. Right below us.
It's covered with cattle. A campfire over there. A couple more on the other side. Well, there must be 20 men here anyway. And we only want one of them. To bring back with us for a souvenir. Somehow we gotta get one of those guys away from that nearest campfire.
Sit down, will you?
Shut up.
You're giving me the willies pacing around like that.
Come on, Cole.
You mean you're yellow? You're scared stiff.
Sure I'm scared. So are you. Only I admit it. It's crazy, that's what it is. Cooking up an Indian ward to keep every man in the county busy. Why, we move 2,500 head of cows off this tabletop.
You hear that?
Yeah. One of the horses must have walked down the trail a piece.
I'll go.
You stay where you are. I'll get him. I need the exercise. Crazy cayuse. Wandering down there this time of the night. Yeah. Hey, you are, you.
A white horse. We got them. What is this?
Put up your hands. Not a sound, understand, or I'll blow you off the top of this mesa. California.
Yeah, Hoppy.
Stick a gag in his mouth.
Tie
his hands.
Feet too, Hoppy?
No, he's got a long ride ahead of him. Hate to make him do it side saddle.
Whitman!
Yeah, Nolan?
Come over here.
I want you here with me at the head of the procession.
Any particular reason?
Yeah. You're the man who drummed up this expedition. I want you right up in front with the rest of us when the shooting starts.
Still sticking up for the Comanches, are you, Bob?
Sticking up for you ranchers, if you only knew it.
Bob!
What is it, Sean? Well, it's getting light enough to see the hills now. Take a look over there on the East Bridge. Yeah.
Hold it, boys! Put up a minute!
What do you reckon it is, Marshal?
Yeah, it looks like a fire over at that burned ranch house.
Engine?
Maybe.
Well, it might be a trap.
Yeah.
Stand up, boys. Divide into two columns. We'll hit the Bird Ranch house on the east ridge from two sides.
You've got to believe me, Cassidy. I don't know nothing. I don't know who the boss is. I never saw him.
Don't tell us that.
If you know what's good for you, you better tell us the truth, mister.
I am telling you the truth. I don't know.
Shut up. Martha.
Yes?
How's the chief coming with the fire?
Be ready in a minute.
Fire?
Yeah, an old Comanche custom. Of California, you take care of our guests. I'm going over to help with the preparations.
Preparations? What do you mean?
Oh, nothing much. Just rigging up a framework over the fire. Sort of a perch for the guest of honor. Yeah, back in 73, we used to call it a Comanche conversation piece. Nothing like good warm feet to make a man real talk. Ever had dealings with the Comanches, mister?
No.
Well, you got a lot to learn. Real practical folks, the Comanches. The chief out there, Broken Lance, he's a Comanche of the old school. Don't make engines like Broken Lance no more.
What do you mean?
Well, mind the time in 73, just before Dobie Walls, when old Broken Lance here had a couple of white prisoners who knew something they wasn't telling. The first one was real stubborn. He wasn't talking. No, sir. He just wasn't talking. Something like you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, to make a long story short, they drug out the conversation piece, like you see here, and strung the fella up over the fire barefooted. Then begun luring him into them red-hot coals, real slow-like.
Then what?
The fella wouldn't talk. Just like I said, a real stubborn fellow. So then they coated him with honey from a bee tree and tied him up on top of an anthill. The ants swarmed over that fella something awful, like to chaw him to bits.
No.
Fella still wouldn't talk, so they finally lost patience and killed him dead.
Yeah? What about the other one?
Well, but then them Comanches was awful mad. So when it come to other fella's turn, they decided to get tough with him.
Bob, Sean, what'd you find up there?
It's the chief, all right. In the clearing by the burned cabin. They got a fire there.
Anyone else?
I'm not sure, Whitman. I couldn't see no one.
Well, of course you couldn't. It's an ambush, Nolan. If Broken Lance is there, the woods around that cabin are full of Comanches. I'll stake my life on it.
That's just what you might be doing. Sean.
Yeah?
Ride back to the rest. Tell them to stay right where they are and hold their fire until they hear shots in the clearing, understand?
Right.
What are you doing, Nolan?
We're going ahead to talk to Broken Lance, Whitman.
You're crazy.
What's the matter, Whitman? You yellow?
No, I'm not yellow. Let's go.
There's a cabin down there.
Something's wrong. That fire burning, no one around.
Go down and take a look.
Yeah, we better get the others.
Take it easy, Whitman. War hasn't even started, and you're ready to jump out of your britches.
Oh, don't be a fool. You know this is a crazy stunt as well as I do.
Maybe. You're a pretty brave hombre with a mob at your back, Whitman. Just wondering how you handle it alone. Put down that gun.
Let go of my
hand. That gun. You know what you did, don't you? 200 men are on their way up here right now, ready to shoot on sight.
Bob.
Cassidy.
Where'd the shooting come from?
Whitman, the mob's on his way up now. Where's Martha?
She's all right.
We gotta get her out of here. Why, those men... No,
never mind that now. I think we got the answer what they're looking for.
What's that, Cassidy?
You'll find out, Whitman. Let's go. Over here.
It's a trick, Nolan.
Shut up and get going. Follow him around there.
I tell you, there's something...
Something wrong, Mr. Whitman?
No, just...
What's the matter, boss? Don't you recognize your number one hand?
I never saw this man in my life.
No use, Whitman. They found the cattle on the mesa. I told them the whole story.
Why, you're reaching for an empty holster, Whitman. I got your gun. What is it, Cassidy?
You can head off your army and tell them if they change their course for Red Rock Mesa in a hurry, they'll get their cattle back. Whitman and his gang have a whole 2,500 head corralled up on top, ready to move tonight. Or maybe we'd better all ride out there while Mr. Whitman tells them himself.
Thank you.
Now back to Hopalong Cassidy.
Mr. Cassidy.
Yes, Miss Martha?
I want you to know how much I appreciate what you've done. There's peace in the valley again, and I think we'll hold on to it.
And I'm holding on to you, honey. Right here in Mescalosa, where I can keep an eye on you.
All through Sharon Martha with the Comanches, Bob?
Right.
I'm sure they can get along without me now.
And I expect you two can get along without a couple of Bar 20 cowpokes who ought to be heading back for their home range.
I've been waiting for you to make that suggestion, Hoppy.
Getting impatient, California?
Well, just a mite uneasy, being so close to that there Comanche reservation and all.
What do you mean?
Well, to tell you the truth, Hoppy, I told that fella such a doggone good story about them Comanche tortures, I ain't been able to sleep nights since.
Goodbye from Hopalong Cassidy. We hope you'll be back with us when Hoppy and California again ride out from the Bar 20 for another dangerous and exciting adventure of the Old West. Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. Red Rock Mesa was written by Harold Swanton. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
Wasn't that a thrilling adventure? You're listening to the Hopalong Cassidy episode, The Red Rock Mesa, first heard Sunday afternoon, March 12, 1950, on Mutual. The series was started by Commodore Productions, a shoestring syndicate company. The series took a little while to gain traction, but soon became one of the big success stories of the 1950s. Next, we're going to hear a quasi-western series that is comparable to Dragnet. In Tales of the Texas Rangers, listeners follow along with the, quote, step-by-step tracking of a criminal by fictional ranger Jace Pearson, played by John McCrae. While Pearson does have a horse named Charcoal, most of the pursuits are done by automobile, as the series draws on real Texas Rangers cases from 1928 to 1948. The series originally ran from July 8, 1950, December 14, 1952, on NBC. Today's episode, titled Play for Keeps, was first heard on Sunday, October 14th, 1951, at 6 p.m. Let's ride along with Pearson and catch us some bad guys.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McCrae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Starring Joel McCrae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Play for Keeps.
At 5 minutes past midnight on December 12th, several years ago, Sheriff Bob Smithers of Bradshaw County, Texas, staged a raid on a gambling establishment located on a country road. But there were no patrons in the house, and the sheriff's face grew dark red as he and the local constable failed to find any evidence.
There's nothing in the upstairs room either, Sheriff.
You're sure of that, huh, Jim?
Not even a deck of cards.
See, Sheriff, like I told you, I quit the racket. Yet this is the fourth time this year you rousted me out of bed.
I know you're operating, Walton. And I'm going to get you for it. You're not going to milk the citizens of this county. Not while I'm sheriff.
Look, sheriff, this happens to be my house. Warrant or no warrant, you finished your business here. How about getting out?
I guess we might as well go, sheriff.
No, Jim. We're going to stay a minute. I want to talk to Walton. And you.
About what?
I was sure of this raid tonight, Jim. Dead sure. Just like I've been sure the last three times, because only you and me ever knew about them. I didn't tell nobody but you, Jim. You, the constable.
Sounds like he's accusing you of tipping me off, Dunn.
I know he tipped you, Walton.
Better watch what you're saying, Bob.
All that talk about law and order and wanting to uphold him. Let me see your wallet, Jim. Take it out and let me see it.
Now, wait a minute, Sheriff.
You shut up! Come on, Jim. I want to see if you're carrying the kind of money an honest man gets for being a peace officer.
What I carry on me is my own business.
Why, you cheap two-bit snake.
Nothing cheap about a few hundred once in a while. Be smart, Sheriff. Get a few for yourself.
Why don't you listen to him, Sheriff? He's talking sense.
Come on, both of you. I'm taking you.
You can't make anything stick.
Maybe not. But I'm going to make this county too hot for both of you. I'm going to run you out of it.
Keep your hands off me, Sheriff. You're under arrest.
Grab him, Walton.
I got it.
Just hold it, fool, while I get his gun.
I got it.
There. Now.
Dunn, you killed him.
No, you killed him. You grabbed his gun and killed him. He was after you, Walton. I got a gun of my own, and I'm the constable.
Are you setting me up for a frame?
Not necessarily, Walton. It's up to you. His body could be moved out of here.
What's your play? What do you want?
No more chicken mash. 50% of your take. You can go right on operating.
With him dead, you crazy fool?
You're forgetting something, Walton. I'm top dog now. And investigating this murder will be my job until a new sheriff is appointed. But I don't think I'm going to be able to solve it.
The body of Sheriff Smithers was found the next morning, dumped in a ditch by the side of an old wagon road. During the next few days, Constable Jim Dunn conducted a seemingly honest but fruitless investigation, even following the efficient peace officer's routine of making use of the state lab facilities at Austin. But citizens of Bradshaw were not satisfied, nor was the editor of the Bradshaw Times. Clippings of his editorials were on file with Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers, and the captain sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
See me, Captain?
Yeah, Jay, sit down. There's no acting sheriff appointed by the court of Bradshaw County here, Jace. I think you better take over.
About the killing of Sheriff Smithers?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to. I knew Smithers.
See, that's right. You worked with him about 5 years ago.
When he first took office. Cleaned that county up in 3 months and cleaned it good.
Well, it doesn't look like it stayed clean, Jace. Not according to this editorial clipping from the Bradshaw Times.
I've read it.
It's going to be a tough one, Jace. No clue to the killer, and the trail has had a couple of days to cool off.
Well, then I better get going before it gets any cooler. You'll hear from me.
Jace?
Yeah, Captain?
I just want to remind you, whoever did it doesn't hesitate to kill a man wearing a badge.
I reached Bradshaw in the early morning. The town was waking up, and the Bradshaw Times was turning out its bi-weekly edition. I went in to see the editor, Frank Carlin.
So you read my editorials, huh? Well, I'm glad to know somebody's reading.
Yeah, you got readers, all right. People have been clipping them out and mailing them into our headquarters.
Yeah, I guess there's always a handful of people to hold out. Wonder what the world would do without them. Everybody was so burned the day of the killing. Then in 48 hours, they want to forget it. Yeah, it's always that way.
How about the constable, Jim Dunn?
Oh, he's all right, I guess. But he's only been constable for a year. He just doesn't have the experience. It'll take the court a couple more days to decide on a new sheriff. I better knock out a story on you rangers coming in. Might wake the people up again.
I'd rather you didn't, Mr. Carlin. I'll be around, and they'll know soon enough.
Oh, see what you mean. Want me to lay off the editorials for a while?
If you don't mind.
You know, Sheriff and I are on different sides of the fence politically, but he was an honest man, and I liked him. I got a headline back there, all set and gathering dust. It says, Sheriff's Killer Caught. Ranger, give me a chance to use it.
Found a place to park my horse trailer and put charcoal in the pasture. Then I headed for the constable's office and met Constable Jim Dunn.
Here are all the reports in my investigations, Ranger. You think I haven't done a good job, maybe those will change your mind. I even checked ballistics with the Austin lab.
My being here isn't a criticism of you, Mr. Dunn. I'm here because I was sent until a new sheriff is appointed and to give you help.
I've done everything possible. I've questioned almost 100 people. I've checked alibis on more than a dozen possible suspects. It's all there.
Yeah. Everything's here. Everything except the murderer. And that's the only thing I'm interested in seeing, Mr. Dunn. A little cooperation between us might clean it up.
I'm sorry I blew, Ranger. It's been getting under my skin. This murder could have been committed by anybody. Some bum from a hobo jungle, some drunk, anybody.
We can't arrest anybody. We've got to arrest somebody. Somebody definite. Now, exactly where was the body found?
Old wagon road bypasses town about 2 miles north.
Is it fit for a car?
Yeah, but you got to go roundabout to get to it. Almost 11 miles. You won't find nothing there, though.
I'd like to take a look anyhow. Can't we cut cross-country on horses?
Yeah, shorter, if you want it.
I want to. My horse is in a pasture. I'll meet you at the edge of town in 5 minutes.
The body was found just a little further on. You can see the road now.
Not much of a road left.
No use for it anymore.
Sheriff must have had some reason for using it if he came way out here.
Hey, here we are. Oh, boy.
Oh, charcoal. Oh, boy.
The sheriff's car was found right over here by the side of the road.
Where was he?
Lying right beside it. Been dead about 7-8 hours when he was found.
Who found him?
Cowpoke, looking for some strays.
That's lucky. Otherwise, the body might have been here for a few days or even weeks before somebody came across it.
Yeah.
You get pictures of the position of the car and the body?
Of course I did. Anything else?
Yeah, any exhibits, casts of footprints, anything like that?
No. When I got the call, I brought a bunch of men out with me. I was excited, and I didn't think to stop them from tramping around.
I can see why you'd be upset. Well, if there was anything to find, it's a cinch it isn't here now. Weather would have wiped it out if your men hadn't.
You want to go back to town?
Yeah. I want to look at the car.
Get up, boy. Get up,
Charlie. Get up. Get up.
How about the exhibits from the sheriff's body?
I sent the bullets and the gun in. Your lab checked it. Verified it was the sheriff's own gun.
I'm talking about the clothes he was wearing. You got those, haven't you?
Sure I got them. I got all the evidence there was.
Yeah, you should have sent it all in. I want to look at that stuff, too. Well, let's step it up. Come on, Charlie.
Yeah. Get up! Yeah.
There's everything, all tagged. Everything the sheriff was wearing when he was killed.
I see. And this the shirt he was wearing?
You see the blood and bullet holes, don't you?
Yeah.
How come your lab didn't find any prints on the gun when I signed it in? It
didn't even have the sheriff's own prints. It was wiped clean. Well, this is kind of odd.
What?
Well, the sheriff was shot twice, and they dug one slug out of him. The other one passed clean through.
Yeah, according to the coroner's report, one slug hit his collarbone. That stopped it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The course of the bullets. Both shots fired into the left side, just above the kidney. But the one that came through came out the right side of his shirt collar here, right through his neck.
What about it?
It's a funny course for a bullet to take. Unless the man who fired the gun was lying down and fired up at the sheriff.
Yeah, that's what I figured, too. They must have had a fight for the gun. He got it, but the sheriff knocked him down and...
No, that isn't the way it happened.
How do you know?
Because the sheriff wouldn't half turn his back on a man who'd just taken his gun. Besides, these powder burns show the gun was being held right against the shirt when it was fired.
What do you think happened then?
Well, the sheriff must have been in some position where he was bent over forward, which he wouldn't be unless somebody was holding him in that position. Here, stand in front of me for a minute. Now, you're back toward me.
What are you going to do?
Slip one hand under your arms and then up behind your head in a half Nelson and twist your other arm behind you in an arm lock. Then bend you over forward like this. The sheriff was held like I'm holding you now. And the bullets were pumped into him. See what I mean?
Now, that's just a guess.
It's a guess I'm going to back up. And if the sheriff was held in a half Nelson and an arm lock, it tells us something else. That there were two men in on the murder. Unless the killer had three hands and used the third one to fire the gun.
That's pretty smart figuring, Ranger.
Only because it's the kind of figuring I've been doing for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Are these the photos that were taken at the scene?
Yeah, the sheriff's body and the car.
The car, the body moved any before these were taken?
Nope. Car was right there, with the sheriff flat on his face beside it.
And less than 2 feet away from it. His right side toward the car.
Yeah.
The bullet that passed through the sheriff came out on his right side. That means it should have hit the car. But there's no mark.
I don't see that. That helps us any.
It helps plenty, Dunn. It tells us the sheriff wasn't killed out there. He was killed someplace else and brought out there.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tonight, enjoy 90 minutes of great entertainment on The Big Show featuring Jimmy Durante, Ethel Merman, Fred Allen, and your unpredictable hostess, Tallulah Bankhead. Then Theater Guild on the Air brings you Joan Fontaine and Ray Milland in the delightful comedy, The Major and the Minor. Later, enjoy the sparkling premiere performance of The Eddie Cantor Show, featuring recorded visits with such great show people as Al Jolson, Ted Lewis, Sophie Tucker, and Bill Robinson. Tonight, it's The Big Show, Theater Guild on the Air, and The Eddie Cantor Show. Hear all three on NBC.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers. And tonight's case, Play for Keeps. An authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
I knew that Sheriff Smithers had been killed by two men, that his body had been moved after the killing, but it wasn't nearly enough. It was evening before I figured out my next move, a move I didn't like to make. Evening, ma'am. Remember me?
Why, it's Jace Pearson, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Been a long time, Mrs. Smithers.
Oh, come in, Jace. Come in. I suppose you know about Bob.
Yes, ma'am. And that's why I'm down here. I came by to pay my respects.
Funny thing. First time Bob brought you through that door, I never reckoned you might be back someday, looking for a man who killed him.
I wish it could have been for another reason, ma'am. But Bob kept things working so well here, there seldom was any reason for a ranger to come visiting in Bradshaw County.
I know how you fellas keep working along. Can I offer you a bite to eat? Please, Jace.
Well, that'd be real fine, Miss Smithers. I knew it might help her and me if she could keep a little busy with her hands doing woman things in the kitchen. And I tried to eat, but kept remembering the man who'd sat across this same table from me 5 years before. Big, honest, stubborn, and unafraid.
It's mighty nice of you to stop by, Jace. Bob would have been happy to see you sitting here again. He always said a man with a good appetite was right with the world.
Ma'am, I guess Jim Dunn has already asked you, but do you have any ideas about who might have killed Bob?
Oh, no. Everything went so well for a few years. All I know is the last year or so, Bob was upset about gambling.
He after anybody in particular?
A man named Walton, Lou Walton, has a big house on the South Road out of town. Bob always says it was a gambling house, but he could never catch Walton.
You mean he raided the place?
A couple of times. Last time was the night he was killed.
Dunn didn't tell me about that.
Bob was killed after he left there. Walton's, I mean. Dunn said they didn't find anything, so Bob started back for town. But he never got home.
Mrs. Smithers.
Hmm?
I have to ask a favor. A favor I don't like to ask.
I want to help, Jace, every way I can.
I want your permission to have Bob's body exhumed for further examination.
Is it necessary?
I'm not satisfied with the examination that was made here.
All right, Jace.
I'd like to have a more thorough examination made for headquarters. I'm sending them the clothes Bob was wearing for lab check, and I don't want anybody to know about it for now.
All right. You're going to get him, aren't you, Jace?
I'm going to try awful hard, ma'am.
Well, howdy, Ranger. Been waiting for you. Thought maybe you might have turned in for the night.
I'm going to in a few minutes. I just came back to pick up the clothing exhibits.
Well, I locked them away again.
I'll dig them out. I want to send them on to Camp Mabry for lab tests.
Well, all right.
I'll give you a receipt for them.
Okay.
Don?
Yeah?
In those reports of yours, I didn't see any mention of a man named Lou Walton.
Why should there be?
I understand that Walton's a gambler and that you helped Smithers raid his place the night Smithers was killed.
Now, here are the exhibits. You're thinking way out of line on Walton. His alibi's airtight.
According to who?
According to me. I was with him all night after Smithers left the place.
You didn't come back to town with the sheriff?
No. I stayed at Walton's.
Why?
Because the sheriff asked me to stay there. We didn't find anything, but the sheriff figured if I hung around, somebody might show up or call up looking for a game. And I'd be able to get him some evidence, eh? Anything else you want to know?
No. I guess that lets Walton out. I'll take these things.
Sure. Go ahead.
See you tomorrow, Dunn.
Number, please.
Oak Hill, 243.
Moment, please.
Hello?
Walton, Dunn. Now get those people out and shut down.
Why? What's wrong?
That ranger's too smart. I try to make things look good for myself, and, well, I guess I made him look too good.
Well, how much does he know?
All he's going to know. Now you just close down and stand pat until he wears himself out.
The sheriff's body was dug up in the examiner's report sent on to Austin. Headquarters also had the exhibits I'd gotten from Dunn. By late afternoon of the next day, Captain Stinson telephoned me long distance.
Got a complete report from the lab, Jace.
Go ahead, Captain.
You were right about the position of the body when the shots were fired. Autopsy report shows the organs were pierced in a manner that'd be possible only if the sheriff were bent over forward.
Good. Anything else?
Yeah. That shirt you sent up. Lab thinks Smithers was killed indoors.
Why?
Some lint stuck to the blood and held when it dried. Analysis indicates it comes from a fabric used in expensive carpeting. Violet color.
Thanks, Captain. That may be enough to wind this up. Then you're convinced that Walton was running a gambling joint, Mr. Carlin.
Was and is. I'd swear to it. But nobody's been able to prove it. You know how suckers are. They lose their shirts and keep their mouths shut. Think they're in on a smart thing and they help the racketeers to cover up.
Then Walton must have been tipped off that he was being raided.
Part of the racket. They pay off and get tipped off.
You ever been in Walton's house?
No.
You know anybody who has been there?
Well, it's no secret the newspaper men gamble more than good for him. My line of type man plays horses, I know. Pate.
I'll be there in a minute. Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy.
Pete, you ever been in Lou Walton's place? Come on, I don't stall. Tell the range. It's important.
Well, yeah, I've been there once or twice.
I only want to know one thing. You notice any carpeting in the house?
Carpeting? Oh, sure. The house is like a palace. Wall-to-wall carpet all over the place.
What color?
Well, it's a kind of a purple, I'd say.
How about saying violet?
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
You've got something, Ranger?
Yeah. I'm going to wake up the nearest judge and get a search warrant for Walton. You better brush the dust off that headline you told me about. I think you're going to get a chance to use it.
I was wondering when you get around to me, Ranger. Seems like everybody who wears a badge just loves to poke his nose into my life.
I wouldn't worry about your nose, Walton. If you want to be smart, watch out for your mouth.
I didn't mean anything, Ranger. Just that a man ought to have a little privacy.
And you love the death cells at Huntsville. They're real private.
Well, I always cooperated. The constable, Jim Dunn, he'll tell you that.
I bet he would. Nice carpeting you got here. I like the color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I... Hey, let me get you a drink or something, Ranger. All good stuff. I don't have anything but the best. You know the old saying, the best is none too good.
Walton, there's been a strong cleaning fluid used on a piece of this rug. And one spot faded just a little.
Well, I spilled some wine. I had a party one night.
The night the Sheriff Smithers was here last?
No, before that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Nobody was here the night Smithers came.
No, nobody. The constable, he stayed. Stayed most of the night after the sheriff left.
Yeah, so he told me.
Let me show you the rest of the house. Upstairs.
No, thanks. I just want to look at the walls in this room. Sure pretty. You know, at Huntsville, they don't have pretty walls like these. Just cold concrete and steel bars.
What do you keep talking about, Huntsville?
I'll tell you as soon as I stand up on this chair and rip off this new piece of wallpaper.
Don't. They have no right to.
Just looking for this small bullet hole papered over. Of course, you know that one bullet went right through the sheriff.
The hole was repapered because a heavy picture fell. The nail made the hole.
38 caliber nail?
I'm
going to have this rug ripped up and sent to my lab, Walton. No cleaning fluid made will wipe out all of a blood trace. Even a drop is enough to hang you.
I didn't do it, I tell you. Dunn shot him. Huh? It was Dunn. Dunn shot him.
Hold your wrists out.
You'll never get those on me.
You bet wrong this time, gambler. Now get up. I'm taking you in. I took him through town to the county jail. And I walked over to the constable's office, but Dunn wasn't there. I had to find him quick before he knew I had Walton. I headed back for the jail, and as I turned into the street, I saw something move in the shadows. There was another car, not far from mine, the constable's car, and Dunn was getting into it.
I told him I'd see you have
Dunn, wait a minute! Oh, get out of the way, people! Get back, please!
My tires. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 convinced Constable Jim Dunn is subject sought in killing of Sheriff Smithers, Bradshaw County, attempting getaway headed north on State Highway 19 from Bradshaw. Alert Highway Patrol and all units for complete roadblock of area. Order no further radio communication. Subject in constable's marked car, equipped with shortwave receiver.
We'll do, Unit 10.
Unit 10's car out of commission. We'll attempt to commandeer another car for pursuit. Unit 10, 10-4.
KDXA, Austin.
Step out of the way, please. Step back, please. Step back. Come on, Charco. Let's hope Dunn heard that call. To gamble. The last part of my call had been a plan I wanted Dunn to hear. He'd know he couldn't get more than 15 or 20 miles before he was blocked unless he took some back road, and I'd seen him take a north turn out of town toward the wagon road he dumped the sheriff's body on. It was 11 miles for him by car, 2 miles cross country for me. I raked charcoal all the way, reached the road, and rope dragged a couple of dead logs across it. We finished just in time. I heard the whine of a car coming over the rise in the rough road as the first glimmer of the headlights stabbed the darkness. I tied charcoal back in the trees and dropped in the brush to wait.
This is the end of the road, Don. Don't try backing up. Now you haven't got any tires. I'm giving you a chance to surrender, Don.
You get your chances, Ranger.
You missed, Don. Now I'm coming around the car to get you. You want to shoot it out? Let's go.
No. Wait a minute. Go, Ranger. You don't shoot. Don't shoot. I'll drop my gun. See? I ain't armed.
Come here.
I ain't armed.
Neither was Smithers when you lifted his gun and killed him with it. Good thing for Texas all constables aren't like you. Come on. Walton's waiting for you at the jail. Looks like you'll be partners again at Huntsville.
The following week, the headlines of the Bradshaw Times read, Sheriff Killers Caught. Though Jim Dunn protested his innocence, Lou Walton's confession and evidence submitted by the Rangers convinced the court of Dunn's guilt. Both were sentenced to life imprisonment at Huntsville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Tom Holland, Byron Kane, Peter Leeds, and Gene Bates. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Hal Gibney speaking.
Next, it's The Big Show. All this and Tallulah Bankhead, too, on NBC.
Well, Sheriff Smithies was sure embarrassed when he raided that gambling establishment, only to find nothing there, wasn't he? You were listening to the Tales of the Texas Rangers episode, Play for Keeps, from Sunday evening, October 14, 1951, on NBC. The episode starred John McRae as Ranger Pearson. I'm afraid our time is almost up for today. If you'd like to send me feedback or requests, please email me at opr@telus.net or write to me at Old Part of the Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS-FM studios in Prince George, BC, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.
Thank you.